My name is Jerry Stewart, and this is my beautiful bride, Lori. We've been married for 32 years next week.
Yay! Yes! Oh my God, there's our picture.
Oh boy. And we have three kids. Our son Jonathan is 31, Brianna is 29, Savannah is 27. And yes, we are that old. Fun fact, both of our daughters got married this spring 8 weeks apart. Yeah.
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 My story is I grew up in a family with both parents and an older sister. We were a stable Christian family, and I can't really remember strife or much drama between my parents, but I do remember that hard work was valued, especially on my mom's side of the family. But yeah, hard work is valued. My parents raised us to attend church on a regular basis, and when I think about my spiritual foundation, I leaned more to the side of don't do anything that will embarrass your family. Don't do anything to embarrass the family name. That you could be spiritual, but you didn't need to be a saint. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In many ways, that was me hearing only." When Lori and I were dating, one of our earliest arguments came when I asked her if she was a Christian. We went back and forth a couple times, and I settled on, if my mom asked, just say yes. I figured we'd sort it out later, but again, I didn't want to disappoint my family.
Yeah. I wasn't really sure what a Christian was. I won't tell you what my response was. I was adopted at birth by two very high-achieving parents, and we moved every few years as my dad was building his career. We sporadically attended church when I was younger. I learned the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and other creeds. I did accept Christ as an eight-year-old in vacation Bible school, but I just really didn't know how to follow Jesus. I was 12 when my parents divorced. In my mind, it was pretty scandalous, and I was just lost. I was hurting and searched for meaning and comfort in anything and everything other than Christ. After a teenage lifestyle pursuing athletics, alcohol, boys, and many other extracurricular activities, I cried out to the Lord. I knew he was real, and I believed he could change me and fill the emptiness I felt inside. I desired a simple, non-chaotic life, which in my mind meant a career, because clearly families were chaotic. I met Jerry at 19 years old. We could not have been more different. He was loud and silly and quick on his feet. I was quiet, serious, and not quite as clever. He asked me to lunch, and in my self-centeredness, I decided I would get a free lunch and move on.
Which she told me. It was free.
I had predetermined he would be just like everyone else, and I had nothing to lose. However, during that lunch, I knew my life would change forever. And I was not happy about it. He was actually a nice guy. He was funny, and he was very cute. I saw stability and wholesomeness, and yet he wasn't boring at all, which was just weird to me. He was not like anyone I'd ever met. He kept pursuing me, and several months later, I just knew I had to tell him about my past because I couldn't get rid of him. And nobody is genuinely that kind. I lost my place. I shared all the details expecting rejection and the end of our relationship because remember the first argument, just tell my mom you're a Christian. I was anything but. But after sharing everything, he just looked across the table at me and goes, yeah, I don't see you that way. And I knew I was experiencing something rare. I just didn't know what it was called. Later, I would realize it was my first awareness of grace. It might not have been my first experience with grace, but it was the first time I was really aware of it. Jerry saw me the way that Christ saw me. He saw me as pure and beautiful, even though I had just shared the ugliest parts of me. And the words from Ruth encapsulated how I felt about Jerry. Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you will go, I will go. And where you will stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people. And your God, my God.
We dated for a year, got engaged, then pregnant, then married. And yes, in that order. I loved Lori and wanted to be a dad, but I had no concept of how to be a husband or a father. Our relationship had its early ups and downs. You see, I'd been exposed to pornography around second grade, finding a hardcore magazine in front of our front yard by the curb, which I still can visually see. This scarred me and opened the door to an on-off relationship with struggling with porn, and this affected how I related with Lori and honestly pretty much a lot of people in my life. Additionally, neither one of us had finished college, and I was working a different job just about every 1 or 2 years. Apart from my parents, I'd been told by most people in my life that I wouldn't amount to much. I was not a star student. I was generally searching for opportunities to prove people wrong, no matter how many hours of work it took. During this time, I felt pressure from my in-laws to provide for and measure up to what their expectations were for our family. I was always looking for the next thing to provide for us and could finally feel like I was not a disappointment. My hurt and selfish needs to overcome these perceptions meant we moved 5 times in the first 5 years of our marriage, the last one bringing us to Dallas. Mm-hmm.
I was in nursing school when we got married and we had our first baby. 3 months before graduation, Jerry took a job in another town, and I dropped out of school so we could stay together as a little cute family. We continued to move frequently, and the moving was hard on my heart as I desired long-term friendships and adulthood that I didn't have while growing up. I kept thinking it would get better, and I really wanted to make the best of it, but it was hard.
Upon arrival in Dallas, the company I came to work for closed, and my job was no longer available. So here we were, a family of 5, living in the apartment my parents had that they paid for, and no job. We were, however, in a Bible-teaching church, growing in our faith and clinging to each other. Our friends would leave groceries on our front doorstep and check in on us. We felt loved, embarrassed at times, but loved. It was during this time that we both really grew in our understanding of and relationship with God. I ended up starting my own business that really took off. I felt like I had finally overcome the naysayers in my life, which was really pride.
Then, in 2001, our family of 5 moved to Central America as missionaries. I had expected missionary life to be very romantic. I had heard stories of missionaries... Yeah, right? Exactly. It's thank you. Yeah. Obviously, clearly, I had the wrong expectations. Oh. I had heard stories of missionaries seeing God, doing great miracles, and I wanted to see God do great things too. So we were out of our comfort zone, learning another language and living in another culture. We were unintentionally living in isolation, as this was before the internet had fully developed in the country we were living in, and we weren't able to communicate with our family or friends on a regular basis. Then the business Jerry left behind that was supposed to help provide financially for us did not come through as promised. We returned to Dallas in 2005 in great debt, exhausted, and unsure what to do next. Re-entry back into the Dallas culture after being in a third world country was bumpy at best. Then the financial crisis of 2008. I had to shift mental gears and return to work after several years of being a stay-at-home, homeschooling mom.
When we were on the mission field, I really had felt free from pornography, although memories of the things I'd seen would continue to come into my mind. Upon our return, reentry was hard, and that old struggle came back as a sad way to cope. Our struggle on how to handle money began and ended with me. I wouldn't listen to Lori or others about leading the way in making biblical financial decisions. This, too, would cause distrust and stress for Lori. Proverbs 12:15 is the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice.
I started working nights, which is not good in your marriage if you're working nights, your husband's working days, while finishing my degree. I felt as though it was up to me to keep our family afloat financially. I bordered on workaholism, working sometimes up to 7 nights a week. Life became too full, and instead of cutting back on work and trusting the Lord to provide, I cut out my quiet times, my church attendance, and eventually quit going to our community group. My heart was getting harder and colder toward the Lord and toward Jerry because our life was not looking the way I had thought it would.
In 2008, my business was failing and my income fell by 90%. I was again feeling like a failure. I was ashamed that I hadn't been more responsible with the blessings the Lord had provided. But while I was pouring, it was during this time that I started leading youth at our church, but while I was pouring myself into leading those young boys well, and my own personal relationship with the Lord, Lori and I were distant, and honestly, I was so frustrated. Lori worked nights, I worked days. I was apathetic in leading Lori And I told myself she was just too much work.
I might have been a little bit of work.
We're all a piece of work.
Upon finishing my degree, I was quickly promoted at work, and I put all my efforts into a career. Our youngest had graduated high school, and Jerry and I didn't have much of a relationship. My non-believing coworkers became my circle of friends. I was naive when it came to corporate relationships. Working late was not uncommon, followed by drinks at the bar. My first unfaithfulness was with a coworker. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." Now, I played a part in it, but that's what the Bible says. Yes.
Lori got her big promotion, and I was finally in a job that, quote, fulfilled me. It was around this same time that my mom started feeling ill. Lori was now in leadership at work and focused on that. I was working, and my mom was getting worse. My mom eventually passed away in October of 2015, and I grew resentful towards Lori during this time. Exactly 1 month to the day after my mom died, I was actually in Cuba on a mission trip, and one of our team members shared with me about his daily quiet time and what a priority it is for him, and that was a seed that took root in my heart. In January of 2016, I started a daily quiet time in earnest for the first time in my life. By March, Lori and I were not doing well, as anger and fighting had become the norm. By May, things had escalated further, and Lori was asking for a separation. A friend from our previous community at our old church told me about Watermark and Reengage. He actually called me and said, "Hey, are you guys doing okay?" And I said, "No, not really." And he's like, "You got to go to Reengage. It's at Watermark down on 635. He goes, what's his wife's name?
Don't say his wife's name.
Right. Anyway, I actually just talked to him today. Fun fact, I talked to him today for the first time in like two years. But anyway, he used to work for my company, and so we were in touch, and he says, "You got to go to Reengage. It's at Watermark. We're finishing." He goes, "Jerry, we went in as a 1, our marriage, and we're graduating a 4.
Out of 10.
And I'm in sales. And I told him, I said, "Chris, that is the worst sales pitch of a program I have ever heard." And he goes, no. "We're going to re-up, and I swear, next time we're going to come out an 8. And he was so excited, I came home and told Lori, "I think we got to try this thing."
No.
So I told Lori we needed to go, and we did. The first few weeks were powerful but tough, and the fighting escalated. Lori announced she was not going to go back after 3 weeks. We were done.
Yeah, no, because the first night at Reengage was all too real for me. The very first testimony I heard mirrored my life. Jerry didn't know I was in the middle of a full-blown affair. The next 2 weeks, we went again and again, and each time the testimony was a wife involved in adultery. And I knew it was the Lord speaking to me, calling me back. But my heart was so hard, and the light was just too bright. And how could I ever tell Jerry that I betrayed him when he needed me the most?
In my apathy, I didn't keep coming to Reengage on my own. In September of 2016, we had another huge blow-up, and I finally gave in. We separated. It was during this time that the Lord would tell me, I moved to a friend's house and would spend every night in the Word and reading. I read a lot. It was during this time that the Lord would tell me, "If you get a chance to talk with Lori again, no matter what she says, you need to show unconditional love." And I remember night after night just sort of, all right, whatever. But every night it was, "You need to show her unconditional love." The same message was laid on my heart. After a week, I was committed to it, and I reached out to Lori to ask if we could do lunch. She was hesitant but agreed to meet. It was at this lunch that I realized the depth of what the Lord had been telling me. Lori admitted to having been in an affair with a former coworker during the prior year. In that moment, I felt like I was falling backwards, but I really felt like Jesus grabbed me under my arms and said, "I've got you." Purely by the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to sit there, look at the shame, hurt, and embarrassment on Lori's face, and in obedience, tell her that I forgive her and we can get over this. But I couldn't move home yet. We were still separated a couple more weeks, and during this time, while I was still clinging to the Lord and now reading Christian books on overcoming adultery, I was really broken. Unwisely, I went with a friend, went on a trip with a friend, and while away, I had an adulterous relationship with a woman. Proverbs 5:3 became alive to me, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. I bought into all the affirming words she told me about me. I decided on that trip that I was done. I was going to come home, and I planned our divorce. I made an appointment with Lori to tell her about my planned filing. Lori said she didn't want a divorce, and we shared a lot of tears. I admitted that I had met someone on my trip and what had gone on. This was a hard conversation to have. I told Lori the only way I wouldn't file was that we would commit to re-engage and therapy. The next month, I found evidence on a computer that Lori was in an affair with someone I knew well. I confronted Lori, and she admitted the relationship, and I was crushed. Over the next few weeks, I was convinced that this current affair still wasn't over, and so I committed adultery again. My sin nature wanted revenge and to assuage the pain that I was feeling, and afterwards I felt like Peter. I'd again denied the Lord and given in to doing exactly the thing I hated that had happened in our marriage, and I now had to confess to Lori again. We immediately started re-engage. We had gotten to the point of realizing this was bigger than both of us, and we needed community support to recover. Re-engage was rough. While preparing this testimony for the first time, I reread text messages I'd sent to our male leader when we went through. I'd forgotten telling him on more than one occasion that I was done and he would not see me again on Wednesdays. He was great in responding me with encouraging verses and reminding me of taking ground, fight for the us, and I'll see you Wednesday. So, Lori and I honestly devoured the material. We did. Thoroughly did the homework, very intentionally, and we sought the Lord as we fought for our marriage.
The chapter on expectations spoke to me the most during re-engage. I became aware of my unspoken and sometimes unrealistic expectations of God and of Jerry. I learned how to communicate expectations, not just on the big things like finances, but little things like, what does your Saturday morning look like to you, and what do you want it to look like? After completing Re-Engage, I went through our 12-step recovery ministry here at Watermark called Regeneration, and the daily homework helped me redevelop the habit of being in God's Word every day. It also helped me identify areas where I had been blind. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind was soaking in God's Word again, and it was healing me. And it was changing me. In February of 2020, we got to take a trip to Israel. We slid in right before COVID, and Jerry baptized me in the Sea of Galilee. It was really sweet. We're not done.
Our recovery verse comes from Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We actually posted this verse throughout our home, on doorways, over the door that went to the garage, so that every time you went to your car, you had to see that thing.
It was up high because Jerry's tall.
And our kids would come home from college and they'd be like, what's up with the verses? And we're like, quiet. Go back to college. So practicing forgiveness focuses on the new things. At times we've had to gently remind each other of this verse to leave the past in the past and strive forward. We are genuinely on the same team now.
Mm-hmm. We keep short accounts. We listen to one another and we practice grace in action through do-overs. We've gone back to restaurants to recreate new memories where there had been bad ones. We even redid a vacation to create good memories. Although that can be kind of hard on the budget. I wouldn't recommend doing that. Yeah. I still, because maybe we'll fight on the next vacation. No, I'm kidding. I still struggle with pride, vanity, and impatience. But the Lord sustains me and promises in Philippians 1:6, he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. We serve and re-engage not only to remind ourselves of the grace that God has given us, but to give hope to those who are walking in a dark place. I left the mission field wanting to see miracles. Little did I know that 20 years later, I had not only witnessed a miracle in my own marriage, but I'd get to see miracle upon miracle as the Lord works through his people to restore relationships and families.
Since Reengage, our relationship looks completely different. When I think back at the mercy, grace, refinement, and love that we experienced by pursuing the Lord and putting him rightly where he belonged in our marriage, it honestly humbles me. I see Lori as my beautiful bride again. We laugh more, share more, and hold short accounts with each other like we never did before. Date nights used to be one of detente, where now we appreciate sharing time together, talking, and enjoying our time together. I see her input on decisions now instead of thinking, it's my idea, what could be wrong with it? I am learning to no longer be a fool who doesn't listen to advice. This year, we've been blessed with 2 sons-in-law. Yes, that's right. And now
we love them. They are wonderful young men, yes. Godly young men.
And now we recently learned that we will be grandparents of a baby girl.
Yay!
due next year. Our family has been so blessed as the Lord has truly redeemed our marriage. Thank you for letting us share.
Yeah.